Good morning. Well, I'm just going to share a very simple message. It's just going to be one of the stories of Jesus. It's going to be a story about two characters and Jesus. But before I tell the story, I want us to think about the prequel to the story. Do you all know that word, prequel? It's what happened before the story. Because in this particular story, I think the prequel is very, very important. You know, often when you have a story about Jesus and you have people that encounter Jesus, the encounter is the most important thing. But somehow, I think there was a prequel in this story that was really, really important. But we don't know the prequel, do we? So we have to use our imagination. And I'm so grateful to God that he has given us a mind to think and to imagine what might have been the prequel. And I'll keep you guessing for a little while, because this story is about two characters and Jesus. And I'm thinking that one of them probably had an advantaged background, and I'm thinking that one of them probably had a disadvantaged background. We know from the actual story that one of them had quite high social standing, and we know that one of them had a very low social standing. We know that one was a man and one was a woman. And I bet, can you guess which was the one that was advantaged and had a high standing in society? Was it the man or the woman?
The man.
You're absolutely right. It was the man. Yeah. The man had a reasonably high opinion of himself. And the woman, she actually had quite a high opinion of herself too, but in a different way. One was the host at this story, and one was uninvited. One of them was a keeper, to the best of his extent, I presume, of the Mosaic law. In other words, he was a religious man, a good man. And the other was not a good girl. In fact, in my Bible, it heads the whole story, calls her a sinful woman. And she was not, had not been a good person. One neglected Jesus, and one honoured Jesus. But the thing is, they both had met Jesus or knew about Jesus before the story started. We know this because one of them invited Jesus to dinner at his house. I'd have loved to be able to do that. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have had Jesus at your house? What do you think? The other one, we know that she knew something about Jesus, because as soon as she heard that Jesus was being invited to this man's house, she decided, I'm going to go. And strange thing is, she said, I'm going to go, she said to herself, and I'm going to take with me something that is very precious, and I'm going to give it to Jesus. So somewhere before the story starts, she has this intention of going. She knows that everybody knows that in the message it said she was the local harlot. That's what the message said. She knew that she was that, and she knew that everybody knew that. And yet she decided that she was going to go and be seen. And she was going to take something precious. And she was going to make an exhibition of herself, almost. Because the thing that she was going to take would have affected everyone. She was going to take this alabaster jar of precious perfume. And there was going to be no way that you could keep that secret once you'd opened it. Everyone would have been aware. So I thought, why does she want to go and make an exhibition of herself when she knows that everybody thinks that she's dirt, that she's scum, that she's awful? What would make her want to put herself in that position? Somehow, she knew that it was going to be all right. Somehow, she knew that Jesus was going to accept her. That's why I say there must have been a prequel. Somewhere, she must have observed Jesus. Somewhere she must have heard something or known the sort of person he was, that it was going to be all right for her to do this. Don't you think that? So I'm just going to read you the first bit, or I might even tell you. So I'll read it, I think. Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And when a woman, doesn't matter, but when a woman, I'm going to do a bit of it. When a woman had, who had lived a sinful life in the town, learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she bought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. And then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured the perfume on them. And when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." So you've got this scene. He invited Jesus. And I have to wonder what his motives were. Because as soon as this thing happens, that must have appalled him. He judges. And he doesn't just judge the woman saying she's a sinner. He judges Jesus. He says, he couldn't have been a prophet. Otherwise, he would know what sort of a woman this is, and he would have said, "Get out of here. I don't want anything to do with you." That's what Simon thought Jesus should have said. And maybe that's what a lot of the people there would have said. And I just wonder at her courage. And what she knew, that somehow she knew it was going to be all right. So Simon judges Jesus because he doesn't really know what sort of person Jesus is. He thinks Jesus should behave that way. But Jesus doesn't behave like that. And what Jesus actually says, and I don't know whether it's a word of knowledge or whether it's just intuition, because it just says in the Bible that Simon said to himself, and then Jesus answered him. But Jesus said to him, "Look, Simon, I want to tell you a story. There were two men, Simon, and they both owed money to a moneylender. And one of them owed 500 denarii, and one of them owed 50. So one owed another 10 times more than the other one. But what they had in common, Simon, was this. Neither of them could pay their debt. So as far as that was concerned, they were on the same level. They couldn't pay their debt. But the moneylender was full of mercy and grace. And he cancelled both of their debts completely. Now, Jesus says to Simon, which of those men would be most grateful? Which of those would love that one that had cancelled the debt? Which do you think, Simon? Which do you think? And Simon says, I suppose it was the one that who had the biggest debt cancelled. And Jesus says, you're right. And then he sort of comes in and brings it right home to Simon. And he says to Simon, do you see this woman? Well, everybody has seen this woman because they know who she is. And the place is absolutely full of the fragrance of this perfume. Everybody is aware that she's there. Because this would have been really powerful stuff. They'd have all been aware of it. And he says, Simon, do you see this woman? And he says, when I came in, you didn't honour me by giving me water to clean my feet. But she wet my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. When I came in, Simon, you didn't greet me and honour me with a kiss. But she's continually kissed my feet. Simon, when I came in, you didn't anoint me with oil, whatever that means, I'm not quite sure. But she's poured out this perfume on my feet. Simon, her sins, though they are many, are forgiven because she's loved much. I think he says, does he say she's loved first before he says forgiveness? Yeah. Her sins have been forgiven for she loved much. She has extravagantly displayed her love to me. And the thought is, where's your honouring of me? Is it there? Perhaps you don't think that you had much to be forgiven. She knew who she was. She knew that she lived a sinful life. But somehow, and I find this incredible, somehow she knew that Jesus would accept her love. She knew she was acceptable to him. I just think this is amazing. Something happened before this story for her to be able to just not care about what anybody else thought, but just extravagantly demonstrate her love and know that she was acceptable. And then what happens? Others come into the story. The other people have been invited to the dinner. and they say, "Who is he to forgive her sins?" Who does he think he is? They actually, again, they attack Jesus. They judge Jesus. But Jesus says to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." When I reread this about a week ago, I thought, "Your faith has saved you." What was her faith? What was this faith that saved her? And it came as a sort of new question to me. What was her faith? And it was this, don't you think, that she knew that Jesus would accept her. She knew that she was loved. These two characters had hugely different prequels. And at the beginning of the story, if you'd have said to anybody that was there, which of these is nearer God? You've got Simon the Pharisee, that he's keeping the law, he's doing his best, he's even inviting Jesus to dinner. And you've got the local harlot. Which is nearer? Which is nearer to God? Don't you think most people have said, "Well, of course, I don't know why you're asking that question, of course it's Simon." And they'd have all been wrong. Because she knew that she was loved. She understood something about God that Simon didn't understand. He didn't understand it. He thought that God couldn't look at people that sinned. But he was wrong. She knew that God could not only look, but love and accept. And when I thought about this, I thought, I wonder what the sequel to this story is. I don't know what happened to Simon. Somehow I feel sorry for him in lots of ways, because I don't think those friends would have helped him, do you? It would have been quite difficult for him to have accepted that he needed his sins forgiven, to have accepted Jesus, because he would have had to put down his reputation. And I think that may have got in the way, I don't know. But as far as the woman's concerned, what do you think her sequel will be? There she is, she's come to Jesus, she's given this extravagant demonstration of love, she's poured out this perfume to Jesus, and Jesus has said to her, "Go in peace, your faith has saved you." I don't think she would have gone back to being a prostitute, do you? Is there anybody here that thinks that she would have gone back to her previous way of life? I just can't see it at all. I see that she would have gone out and she'd have been like that woman at the well. She would have been the greatest evangelist ever. She would have said, "Do you know, he loves me. He didn't care about what I was before. It didn't matter to him. He accepted me. He loved me." I think she would have been going around and telling everyone how much he loved her. And I feel that this is important for us, because, you know, God loves us in a way that we can't fully comprehend. There's Paul prays in Ephesians 3 for the Ephesians, and he says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I can't believe it. But what Paul's saying is, if only you can begin to know how much God loves you, then the consequence will be that you will be filled up to the measure of the fullness of God when we really understand how much he loves us. We'll be dreaming of all sorts of stuff. That's what God wants us to do. You see, I think that woman before, we don't know what led her into that life. I don't think it's hardly ever a choice, is it, for people to land up like that? That's not their choice. Circumstances happen. But she went from there to, oh, why don't dream of what God could do with her? I just think God wants to open our eyes to see what he wants to do with us. The more we are aware of how much he loves us, and the fact that that love for us is never going to end. Because Paul again says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That love will never, ever, ever fail us. When we begin to get it more and more into our heads, well, we're able to do anything, aren't we? We're invincible when we know that we're loved. And I just want us to realise it is a process. You know, we never grasp how much we're loved. In fact, in that little story, Jesus said it's the one that's forgiven much that's loved much. The thing is, we're so often unaware of all our shortcomings. Because if God revealed them to us, we'd be overwhelmed. In fact, it's interesting that it's near the end of Paul's ministry that Paul says, I'm the chief of sinners. Because the closer he got to God, the more he realised how much he fell short. And the more he realised he fell short, the more he loved. And so it's a challenge to us to just be aware that he does love you. He really does. Nothing can change that love. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what your story is. It's nothing to do with her. It's to do with the fact that he loves you. She knew that. And I just pray that as we become more and more aware of that, we will be like her. And that the sequel will be that we will be going out and being great evangelists too. Because as we realise how much he loves us, we'll want to share it. Just feel that's what God is saying to us as a church. Know that you're loved. Really, really know you're loved. Then it'll just happen, because you won't be able to stop it. Amen. Amen. Perhaps I'll just finish by just reading the whole story. Again, perhaps we could have it up. It's Luke 7:36. And we'll just ask God what he particularly wants to say to you through this story. Luke 7:36. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And when a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. And then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. And when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of a woman she is, that she's a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he cancelled the debts of both. Now which of them would love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt cancelled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And the other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Amen.